We're going to go to starting Psalm 29, and I want to share a little bit on the subject of God strengthens us. Of course, we never get tired. We never seem to run out of steam. Nothing bothers us, you know, that type of thing. But this is for other people.
Yeah.
If you happen to know anybody that tired or just needs a little extra boost, then you know what to do.
Halloween outfit.
So, Psalm 29, a great promise to God's people. Verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So two great truths there. One is that he's going to bless our lives with peace, which is a nice thing to have. And if you're peaceful, you will have a little bit more strength because you won't be wearing yourself out in anxiety and other things. But the promise of strength, where he will strengthen his people. There are ways of getting strength just from natural ability. Sleep or rest will give us strength. We work all day or whatever we do all day. We get tired, we go to bed, and we're strengthened through the sleep. None of us can live day by day by day without sleep. I mean, there comes a point where you actually die. You just can't. And it's not too many days. I think it's 9 or 11 days the most you can live without sleeping. So it's a way of getting strength. It's a natural manner. Food and water helps give us strength, right? Beer? No. Guys feel a lot stronger when they drink beer. But herbs and medicine, even good news, can kind of like lighten you up. You know, good news that, you know, it's refreshing. And, things that naturally will cause us to get tired, stress, sickness, sometimes just working physically or mentally so long or hard. People could cause you to lose your strength. And then more people. extreme weather conditions. You can think, I'm sure, of a lot of things that make us very tired. And we have natural remedies, but our best remedy for strength that is available to God's people is God himself. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And what a benefit this promise of God strengthening us is. I mean, just, it's invaluable. How many formulas are out there for herbs and stuff to make the body stronger? And they do cost money, as far as I know. But this is free. And no side effects. Other than you feel better. Isaiah 37, familiar verse of scripture here. I'm sorry, did I say 37 or 40?
40.
Good. That's where I want to be, 40. We're going to 37 next. Chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Another wonderful, it's a wonderful promise that God will renew our strength. The word for wait there basically means to eagerly look upon or to look for. And he will renew our strength. We do lose strength, and then God, through natural processes, we gain strength, and also from God Almighty. As an example of that, let's just look in Isaiah 37. We'll back up a little bit. This is King Hezekiah was the king of Judah at the time, and the Assyrians were starting to gobble up a lot of the cities in Judah and Israel, and had conquered many nations, and they were after Jerusalem. And they approached Jerusalem and they surrounded it, they besieged it. And their method back then, if it was a walled city, they couldn't get into walled city normally. So what they would do is just cut off all water supply, all food supply, and wait. Give warning, hey, we're coming in. You know, you can give up now or you can starve to death and then just let us have your stuff. So, but it was a real thing. You look out the wall and you see the armories. You don't see any more food coming in the city. You don't see any water coming in the city. And so it's just a matter of time. And they reported what was going on to Hezekiah. Hezekiah actually was sick at the time, you know, on his deathbed. And in verse 37... chapter 37, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it," referring to all those things that were going on, "that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos." So they're going to God. They're going to the man of God in that area, and they're going to the temple type of thing. "And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble." And truly it would be if your city was besieged by these unbelievers and they're just staying out there waiting for you to, like, what do you call them? Like vultures. Just staying there and watching. Waiting for you to give up or die. One of the two. They're on the easy side. They just have to wait it out. The Israelites, they have to wait it out, but their end result's a little different. You know? So there's a different type of waiting that Hezekiah and these believers are going to do. "And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." You know, there's a baby coming, and I don't have enough strength to get it out. What a figure of speech. "It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left." So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And as you know in the record, Isaiah went to God. God gave Isaiah a message to give back to Hezekiah, which was, don't fear, the city is protected. Those guys aren't going to come in and take over. And they were waiting on God. They were waiting on a renewed strength, in this case, to stay alive. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. What a record that was. I mean, if you put yourself in the situation, it gets really real. I mean, there are a lot of times where there's just nothing left that we can do in the physical five senses realm or natural abilities or whatever it is, your mental acumen, your money, your good looks, your bad humor, whatever you may have or don't have, that can take it over the top and get the deliverance. There are times that there are circumstances we just need God Almighty to help us. I don't need God to help me tie my shoes. That's because I got loafers on. But, you know, there's a lot of circumstances in life. We just need God's help. And Hezekiah and those believers were one of them. There was nothing they could do. They were stuck. Psalm 138. Verse 3. And here's a little clue on how to receive. "In the day when I cried, thou answered me, and did strengthenest me with strength in my soul. In the day when I cried, thou answered me." that same very day. How many times have we, you know, we realize, okay, I just got to thank God for help on this thing. And as soon as the thoughts for my, you know, the prayers or whatever, the words come out of my mouth, all of a sudden stuff starts happening. And it's a reminder to me, you know, why didn't I ask earlier? But, you know, he's fast. He's very fast. The day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Isn't that great? 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. You know, sometimes we just get to a point where we're so tired of the things of life. The difficulties, perhaps, or the roadblocks, that we just don't know what to do, or we're just tired out. Remember the record of, I'm not going to go to it, but Elijah, he had, you know, he had done a lot of stuff to fight the unbelief and the idolatry in Israel, and remember with the 450 prophets of Baal, and they put all the water on the altars, and you know, they were supposed to light it, and then he said, okay, it's my turn, and had him add the water three different times, and then God came down with his fire and burnt the whole thing up, sizzled all the water, and then he did a number of other things, and then he just got to a point where he said, "That God, I'm done. I'm going to lay under this tree, and I'm going to die. I've gone as far as I possibly can go." And he did. He laid under the tree, and an angel woke him up and said, "Hey, here, get something to eat." Good idea. It's always good to go back to sleep on a good, full stomach. So then he eats, and then the angel wakes him up later and says, "Get going. This is what you're going to go do." And it says that he went on the strength of that food for 40 days. He just was energized by God, but he got to a point, I've never been to a point in my life where I said, my best option right now is just to die. I've never been there. And he got to that point. It was like, he wasn't sick, he wasn't in jail or anything, he just was tired, worn out. And God fixed him. You know, it's a promise. 2 Samuel 22, verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Isn't that something? He is my strength. And that's how we have to think. He will strengthen us. Verse 40. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. This is David. This whole thing here is a psalm, actually. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. David received strength a lot of different times in his battles, being chased by Saul. We've never been on a run from a political king. I've never been. You know, you're chased, and your life is on the line. You never know when his guys are going to be around to kill you. It was, yeah, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it isn't just life and death situations that wear you out. It's a lot of things that wear you out. The world is just a grinding machine. Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. You know, it's commanded, the believer said, to, you know, seek me. Verse 27. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. That's something. Strength and gladness. 1 Corinthians chapter 29, while we're in the I mean, the Chronicles. I keep saying Corinthians. First Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That's just our God. He's a wonderful God. Let's go to Psalm 19. We'll go through a few psalms. Psalm 19. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 27. Strength is available to us. We just cry unto the Lord. We believe his word, and he goes right to action. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? That was something that the believers in Jerusalem thought when Hezekiah was the king and the Assyrians were trying to take him over. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Just terrific. Verse 8. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. There's a little pattern here, right? It's not like one verse. Even if there was just one verse in the Bible that said that God would strengthen us, that's all we would need. But there's so many of them. Let's go to Psalm 71. And strength isn't just for the youthful people. Psalm 71, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, most of us are in that spot, not Peter. When I am gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. And in the ESV version has wonderful, a little clearer, basically showing, until I've been able to show the next generation of your strength and power. You know, like our grandkids and our grandkids' generation, you know, that we live strong enough and long enough that we can not only teach our own peers, but the next generation and those following. Just a great, great thing. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul lived this way. He looked to God for strength. Corinthians makes quite a list of things that he had to endure or did endure just to be able to speak the word and make known the greatness of God's word. His life was not an easy life. He lived in a time that wasn't even easy to live in to begin with, but the devil was after him to stop speaking God's word and to not minister God's word. And he endured a lot of hardships. And he was a Roman citizen who had a lot of legal rights. and it still was difficult for him. But you know, he had been whipped many times, he'd been left in the sea, just a lot of things. He was killed. At one time they stoned him, and he still got up. Just the thing. Then he was in Rome towards the end of his life and ministry. And in this verse here, verse 17 of chapter 4, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The mouth of the lion, I don't know if anybody knows, whether it's figurative or true, he was in Rome, and they did feed Christians to the lions at that time for entertainment, but it could be figurative, referring to the power of Rome. Wasn't able to get him, but either way, he was delivered. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So he lived with receiving God's strength in his life. And I don't think there's any of us who have suffered physically and emotionally like the Apostle Paul did in order to teach God to people. He just was an amazing man, and he kept going to God for help and deliverance. Chapter 11, verse 11. For through faith or believing, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Remember, Sarah was 90 years old. The only one older than 90 in our fellowship is Donnie's mom. Can you imagine her getting pregnant next year, giving birth? I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, Rube's the oldest male here. Right, male? Right, Rube?
Perhaps.
Can you imagine, like 20-some years from now, get Connie pregnant? I mean, it's just out of norm, right? But God told them that it would happen. And it took them 25 years to finally see that promise come to pass. But he just, like it says here, she judged him faithful who had promised. The deliverance doesn't always happen the next day. It could. It could happen right then and there. But it's just amazing. And so in order to do that, she had to receive strength. Her body physically could not house and nurture a baby in her womb and then bring forth. It's just the body's too old. So she receives strength to do it. Just wild. Luke chapter 22. Here's the only perfect man on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even he needed strength. You know, he was a human being just like us. He woke up, brushed his teeth, dragged a comb across his hair. You know, he did normal people things. And at the end of the day, he was probably tired. He slept. He woke up fine. Next day, does the same thing, type of thing, where you're doing things for God. Well, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as you know, he had asked God three times to if there was any other way of performing the thing of redemption for mankind without getting pulverized, I'd be interested in knowing. And three times he asked God. That's amazing to me. Three times he checked for verification. Susan teases me at times because I verify so many things. Well, he was checking for verification. Are you sure? There's no other way. He's challenging God. Sure, sure. Like, sure, sure, trouble, sure. But, you know, what he had to go through, not, look, you know, a fun thing to look forward to. But chapter 22, verse 43, we read, Well, verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. But thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. But God sent an angel for him to be ministered to, strength to him. He could do it in a lot of different ways. Here he chose to send an angel to strengthen his son in the hardest decision any person ever made in their lives and have the biggest impact on all of mankind. And he had to decide to do it. And, sometimes you're in a tight spot and your body starts to sweat. You ever have that where you're kind of starting to sweat? Well, he sweat so badly that I don't know if it's literal or not, but there's great drops of blood. It's showing that it just took everything out of him to go through what he was going through. And he did it for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. So he received strength. He was perfect. People say, well, why would he need to have strength? He's got a perfect body. Well, doesn't mean it doesn't get tired. Ephesians chapter 3. Here's a wonderful thing God has done for us in light of strength. Chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's a promise to us. He strengthens us with might by his Spirit. And this isn't referring to, we have the Spirit of God in us as we manifest the gift of Holy Spirit. One way of speaking in tongues, it strengthens us, it can strengthen us. That Spirit of God is in us, it's in every fiber of our being. And God can energize our physical body by the Spirit of God in us, or by the information that God can give us, or that Spirit can give us and energize us. That doesn't happen to an unbeliever. God can send an angel to an unbeliever, but there's no spirit working in that person that he can energize that spirit, and the spirit energizes that person's body. If they're an unbeliever, they don't have that spirit in them. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Similar truth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. So, part of receiving this wonderful strength, and it is a promise, and it is something that God chooses to do to bless our lives and help us. It's one of the ways he helps us. Is we do have to, we thank him for it. We cry unto God. We believe for it. It's a promise of God. We can believe for that to help us. And so it does happen. Believing is a part of it. Our expectation to receive from God that he's going to help us and he's going to strengthen us. Chapter 3 is part of that waiting on the Lord, and he will renew their strength. Chapter 3, verse 1, we're all familiar with this record. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms and of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he said, I can't walk. I haven't ever walked. That wasn't his answer. He was expecting to receive something of them. And it says later that he was above 40 years old. So he had sat and laid, never walked for over 40 years. It's a long time of watching other people move about. But verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I would be too, I think all of us would be. If we had never walked, I'd like to try a little jumping up and down. Why not? You know? But what a moment. But we do have to expect it to happen. We can't ask God for it and say it, but I know it's never going to happen. You know, we know better. And this has happened in my life thousands of times. You know, where not so much now because I don't work too many hours after dinner, but I used to work a lot after dinner each night, a number of hours. So coming home and eating for 45 minutes to an hour with my family, then you get, especially if it's wintertime, then you're tired. Food makes you tired. The decision to go back to work is not always the easiest, and I would just say, oh, I'm just going to get going. If I went by how I felt, I probably wouldn't have gone much, but I just started put my boots back on, going back outside, and as soon as I started moving, there was the strength. But I didn't get the strength and say, oh, I feel good, I guess I'm going to go. It was always the opposite, always the last thing I felt like doing. But as soon as I started moving, I got the strength. And we've experienced that time and time and time again. You know, there are times where we're just like tired, but we realize we should be doing something, and then we decide, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you start doing it, and it's like, I don't know what was bothering me that I would even not want to go. So, just interesting. We're not going to go there, but in Joshua chapter 14, it talks about Caleb. Caleb and Joshua, as you know, were the only two people of all the Israelites that came out of Israel, Egypt, into the promised land, or into the wilderness, that ever made it into the promised land. The only two. And the reason is because it says that they wholly followed the Lord when they went to go into the promised land. They said, we can take it. And the rest of the children of Israel said, nah, we can't. Let's go back to Egypt. And God honored their lives and said, okay, you two guys are going to go in. So when the day finally came where all the younger generation of Israel was ready to go in, Joshua and Caleb led them into the wilderness, out of the wilderness into the promised land. And Caleb said that he had as much strength, and he was 85 at that point, as much strength then as he did when they were going to go in the first time. And I thought, wow, 85's pretty old. And he was a warrior. I mean, he fought and, you know, led battles and took land. But God strengthened his life. And he must have kept in his heart that he was going to one day go into that promised land. And he just didn't let the natural forces of life stop him. Interesting. So great examples to us. If we have a promise of God, we can go for it. Sarah could have said, you know, really, the sex is nice, but I don't think we'll have a baby. She might have even said, hey, Abe, even a second.
Get a rest.
She could have, but she knew it was God's will. And she just said it in her heart that she was going to see that come to pass, that God would work with her life. Isn't that something? So we are all older, That's a good thing. That means we're still living. I know people that died at 25. They don't even know it. You know, right? We're still alive. And if God's working in our heart to do something, then you will have strength or energy or wisdom or the means to be able to do it. You know, if God's not working anything in your life, then something's not right. I mean, he's always working in our lives to do stuff. He never stops saying, hey, I got this spot. Elijah was ready to die, and God said, no, I got some things I need you to do. You're going to go do this to this king and this to that king. Get going. Here's some food. You got angel food here. Go. He worked with them. So, you know, what's God working in our lives to do? And are we saying, yep, I don't feel right like I can do it, but I'm going to do it. And then God will energize us. Really interesting. Or if we need healing, to heal. So, we got a great God. Thankful that we have this. The unbelievers don't have this available. They really don't. So, one more benefit, getting born again.